Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. Welcome to the Zika Virus Update Conference. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, press star one. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. It is my pleasure to introduce Ms. Kathy Harbin, Chief CDC News Media Branch. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Thank you, Holly, and thank you all for joining us today for a briefing on Zika. Joining us is Dr. Tom Frieden, Director of the CDC. Also joining us is Dr. Mark, and that's M-A-R-C, Fischer, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, and he's a medical officer in CDC's Arboviral Diseases Branch, and he is currently deployed to assist Florida in their Zika investigation.
Hello, everybody, and apologies for the slightly delayed start. We had a lot of interest in the call, so it took a while to get everyone joined in. Thanks very much for joining us. Today, as you know, Governor Rick Scott and the Florida Health Department announced four cases of Zika infection that are the result of local mosquito-borne transmission. These are the first cases of locally transmitted Zika reported in the continental United States. We are working closely with Florida, and we've been impressed by the comprehensiveness of their investigation. These cases are not unexpected. At CDC, we've been saying for months, based on experience with chikungunya and dengue, which are viruses spread by the same mosquito that spread Zika, that individual cases and potentially small clusters of Zika are possible in the U.S. As we have anticipated, Zika is now here. We consider this and are proceeding as though these cases are confirmed local mosquito-borne transmission. And just to be clear about this, because it can be confusing, confirming mosquito-borne transmission is not as easy as confirming an infection in a person. Our best evidence would be if we found Zika in one of the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes in the area where there were cases reported. But that's very difficult to do. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. So if infected mosquitoes are not found, that doesn't imply that it's not spreading by mosquitoes. If they are found, that's highly suggestive. But it's not expected that we would find infected mosquitoes, even if there is spread by mosquitoes in that area. The Zika cases are in both Miami-Dade and Broward counties. The Florida Health Department has focused on one small area, several blocks just north of downtown Miami, where active transmission of Zika appears to have occurred in early July. All the evidence we have seen indicates that this is mosquito-borne transmission that occurred several weeks ago. Importantly, since these infections were diagnosed, Florida has implemented aggressive mosquito control, as they do for all of the travel-associated cases there, of which they've had close to 400. Florida is aggressively working to reduce mosquitoes in the area of the reported cases. They've been going door-to-door to reduce standing water. They're spraying by both truck and backpack, both for adult mosquitoes and larval mosquitoes. And we're coordinating closely with Florida and will continue to support their efforts to assess the situation on a daily basis. We at CDC continue to recommend that everyone in areas where Aedes aegypti mosquitoes are present, especially pregnant women, take steps to avoid mosquito bites. That means applying DEET repellent every day to exposed areas of skin on arms, legs, neck, face, wearing long sleeves and pants, and staying indoors or in screened areas as often as possible. We at CDC have offered Florida support in laboratory testing and vector control and in other aspects of the investigation and response, and we are clear that we are ready to go as soon as they ask. We would not be surprised if additional individual cases are reported. In fact, there may well be more cases that we're not aware of right now because most people infected with Zika don't have symptoms. People infected several weeks ago may also have their infections diagnosed, as we do and as Florida does, community surveys in the area. If, however, we were to see cases in this area in people infected after the mosquito control efforts were undertaken, this would be a concern and warrant further advice and action. We will continue to update you with what we know, when we know it. In the meantime, everyone, all over the states where Aedes aegypti mosquitoes are present, especially pregnant women, should take steps to avoid mosquito bites. We understand that people want more information. We understand that Zika is scary, especially for pregnant women. We wish we had all of the answers, and we know that Florida is working hard to reduce the risk of Zika and protect pregnant women. The bottom line, again, is that Zika is now here. It's particularly important for pregnant women to avoid mosquito bites in all areas where the Aedes aegypti mosquito is present by using DEET, wearing long sleeves, and avoiding mosquito bites so they can protect themselves. We'll now open this up for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 and record your first and last name clearly when prompted so I may introduce your question. One moment, please, for incoming questions. Our first question comes from Mike Stobe with the Associated Press. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I was wondering a couple of things. Are there plans now to do more active surveillance for cases? Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I was under the impression these 4 cases were identified through passive surveillance. So will Florida health officials or anyone be going into clinics, hospitals, doing more blood testing? And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about what areas have had this active mosquito eradication. Is it just that Wynwood area, or are there other areas? And also, do you have any advice for women in the Miami area who are considering conceiving? Should they put that off for some amount of time, or what's your advice?
Thank you. Well, first, in terms of active case finding, there are several things that the Florida Health Department is doing. The first is encouraging doctors to think Zika. People have symptoms that may be consistent with Zika. Second, in the areas where local mosquito-borne transmission is being considered, the Florida Health Department, with CDC input and Dr. Fisher's presence as part of the Florida team, have begun community surveys, knocking on doors, not only to eliminate standing water, but also to ask people to participate in the survey so that we might be able to identify if there were other infections through testing there. So that's a form of active surveillance or active monitoring that could help define the area of concern or the extent of the problem. In terms of decisions about whether and when to become pregnant, it's a highly personal decision. Right now, the area that we're concerned about is a several block area in North Miami. And for that area, my understanding is that the Florida Health Department will recommend that women who are pregnant consider getting a test for Zika, even though the odds are low of an infection. Always better safe than sorry, always good to be prudent. And I'm sure if people want to have that information, they will then have access to it. We've provided Florida with test kits, and we're available if there is a surge in testing requirements to support the needs of people who want to get tested there. Next question.
Our next question comes from Evan Brown with Fox News. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking the call. We kind of all had known this would happen, and I'm remembering back to the original press call we did about Zika, which was, if I remember, hastily called on a Friday night. Did this happen sooner than was expected, or was everyone ready and sitting around waiting, going, we're waiting for this first mosquito transmission?
Well, while we can't predict the future, this is really the time when we would expect to see cases. It's the upswing of the mosquito season. It's similar to times when we've seen dengue and chikungunya in the past, in July, August. So this is kind of the time frame that we thought would be most likely.
Thank you.
Next question.
Our next question is from Betsy McKay with the Wall Street Journal. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. I had a couple of questions. One is, I was wondering if you could shed any light on why the focus is on this particular 1 mile square area. I mean, is this a area of place of work or residence for these 4 people? I mean, one of them is from Broward County, so clearly they don't live there. The reason is I'm wondering how much time they have spent in this area. The second question is, one of the four is a woman, so is she pregnant?
So for the details of that, I'd have to refer you to Florida, and for situations like whether someone's pregnant or not, confidentiality often prevents us from discussing that in either direction. The investigations have been of multiple cases that have occurred, which may represent local transmission on more than one occasion. What's concerning about this particular area is that more than one of the cases were associated with it, and it was their only association, and the investigations there identified a significant number of mosquitoes that can spread Zika. Those conditions were rapidly abated, but that's why it appears that this is an area where there was some local transmission in early July.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question. Operator, next question, please.
Our next question comes from John Cohen with Science Magazine. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with what Betsy was asking. I think we're very confused when we're told that there were reports of it being both Miami-Dade and Broward, and then we're now told that this area is only in Miami-Dade. So we do need to clarify that, or we're going to misreport it. And I also think it's unusual for us to be told of a restricted area like this for a mosquito-borne virus, regardless of whether it was the Florida Department of Health. What does the CDC think of Florida Department of Health issuing this restricted area in a map?
Thank you. So first off, residences are in both Miami-Dade and Broward. However, where it appears that transmission occurred is in this several-block area in Miami. And we are fully in agreement with outlining the area, providing it so that there's transparency and people can know, and people in that area can help with mosquito abatement, getting rid of standing water, for example. But there's a very important point here, and I don't know if this is behind your question. There's a huge difference between mosquito control for West Nile, which many of you are familiar with, and mosquito control for Zika. With Zika, it's a very focal disease. The Aedes aegypti mosquito does not travel more than about 150 meters in its lifetime, and often quite a bit less than that. In contrast, with West Nile, you have virus circulation within a bird mosquito population that can cover a large area. That's a totally different situation from what we have with Zika, where it's a focal, in areas like this, where it's a focal problem that needs to be addressed focally. Does that answer your question?
Well, it's still confusing why a residence in one county would be assumed to have been infected in another county.
The epidemiologic analysis strongly suggests that the exposure and the infection occurred around the workplace because of the connections between people who don't have other connections. So the Florida investigation identified in the course of their interviewing of patients and assessment of environments that this location was likely to have been the source for more than one case of Zika spread locally.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Dr. John LaPook. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I have a question. I know that local blood donations have been suspended, but there's a window between when the active infection occurred several weeks ago and now. So during that window, there was potential for somebody to donate blood and for it to be infected. Have people gone back and looked at the blood supply and to look at whether there's any evidence of infection?
Well, first off, my understanding is that the blood bank for that area is beginning testing of blood as of today. In terms of past transfusions, I would have to refer you to the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, because they have regulatory authority over that.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Next question.
Our next question comes from Elliot Rodriguez with WFOR Miami. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I'm here in Miami. You can imagine how concerned people are about this. I just wanted to clear up. You said that the residences are in Miami-Dade and Broward, but these people were infected in Wynwood. Were they at the same place in Wynwood? Or was it, you mentioned also workplace. I'm a little fuzzy on that. And also, Wynwood is a very popular restaurant entertainment district here in Miami. Would you recommend that people stay away or that pregnant women stay away?
Thank you. The investigation identified more than one individual who appeared to have been infected near each other in that location. In terms of travel into the location, we don't currently see a situation where we would advise people not to travel there or advise pregnant women not to travel there. If, however, cases were to continue in the area, even after the mosquito control activities had been undertaken, that would be a very different situation. And so at present, we understand that some people may decide not to go there, and that's an individual decision that they're free to make. And they have the information from the Florida Health Department about where the investigation is taking place and where the intensive mosquito control activities are being undertaken. But at this point, we do not see an indication to advise people or pregnant women not to travel there. However, anyone there, anyone in Miami, anyone in any city or state where the Aedes aegypti mosquito is present, especially pregnant women, should use DEET, use long sleeves, long pants, and avoid mosquito bites. And for pregnant women, that may involve staying indoors in air-conditioned, if possible, and screened space for as much time as practical. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Nancy Cook with Politico. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my question. I had two. My question has two parts. One, I'm curious about what the delay was. You know, both the press release and you just said, Dr. Frieden, that Florida has known about this since early July. So I'm wondering if you could explain to me why we're just now sort of having confirmation of local transmission. And then two, more broadly, does the CDC have a sense of what the time frame that Zika will remain in the U.S. is? Is it just a problem for this summer, or do you think it will be a problem that will extend into 2017? Thank you.
So on the first thing, let me really clarify this. The individuals appear to have gotten infected in early July. They got sick about a week later. They got diagnosed a couple days later. Immediately after that, Florida did what they do for all of the Zika cases, including travel associated. They went to the area and they began killing mosquitoes. That's the right thing to do. They also, for all of the nearly 400 cases they have had, do a thorough investigation to see, did that person travel? Did they have sexual contact with someone who might have had Zika? Is there some other explanation for their Zika infection? And in the cases that Governor Scott mentioned today, they concluded that there was no other explanation except local transmission of Zika. And that conclusion is not simple to make. There's no simple test for that. As I mentioned earlier, mosquito pools are rarely positive. If they are, it's very helpful, but they're rarely positive. So I think this is a complex investigation, and we'll certainly continue to share information as soon as we have it. In terms of the future, I think every indication is that Zika will continue to spread in parts of Latin America and the Caribbean in future years. It may spread at a different level. It may become more of an endemic than an epidemic situation, but only time will tell. That's why it's so important that we continue to strengthen our systems for monitoring for Zika, inform people about how to protect themselves against it, and continue to develop new and better tools to diagnose it and prevent it. Next question.
Our next question comes from Pam Bellick with the New York Times. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just to clarify, you said just a few minutes ago that all the people appear to have been infected near each other in that location, which I think you were referring to the workplace, right? They were all infected near each other or in or near a particular workplace. Is that the right way to think of this?
So there are details of the investigation I would have to refer you to Florida to address. There are multiple cases that are consistent with local mosquito-borne transmission. Of those cases, at least some of them are associated with the area in the map from the Florida Health Department where there were at least two individuals who were nearby each other and who developed Zika.
And they were nearby each other as coworkers?
No, they were in different work sites, but close by.
Okay. So the four people are not all related?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Our next question comes from Donald McNeil with the New York Times. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Back in January, when there was local transmission like this, the CDC issued advice saying that pregnant women should stay away from entire countries with transmission. Now you're not telling people to stay away even from 1 square mile. This does not seem consistent, and so it looks like bowing to pressure from the Florida tourism industry. Why are you not issuing some sort of a travel advisory?
It is completely consistent. We issued the guidance for Puerto Rico because we anticipated and predicted what has occurred since we predicted it, that there would be widespread, explosive spread of Zika in Puerto Rico. What we also said at that time is that there are likely to be isolated cases in the U.S., and there may be occasional clusters in the U.S. We don't expect widespread transmission in the continental U.S. And if, however, we were to see continuing spread in this area or somewhere else, or explosive spread, then we would absolutely issue travel guidance. That's not the situation that we're in today, but we will reassess that every single day. And based on what we know now, we're not issuing travel guidance, but that could change depending on events as they occur here and elsewhere in the U.S. But we are applying exactly the same standards within the U.S. and outside the U.S.
Well, why not do it as a precaution, just because you don't know if the mosquito killing is effective or not yet?
You know, by that reasoning, Donald, you could issue that precaution for all of the 30 states where Aedes aegypti mosquitoes are present, because 4 out of 5 infections are asymptomatic. So we might not know where it's spreading. I think we're taking a practical, pragmatic approach to both supporting the community and the state and protecting people by providing information and reminding everyone, especially pregnant women, that whether or not Zika has been diagnosed in your community, please use an insect repellent, wear long sleeves, and avoid mosquito bites. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Lena Sun with The Washington Post. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Frieden. I was wondering if you could elaborate on something. You said that there are multiple cases that are consistent with local mosquito-borne transmission and that at least some of them were infected in the area in the map. So that the four, that's the Governor Scott talked about, but how many other of these multiple cases are we talking about that are locally transmitted?
Well, as per Governor Scott's announcement, they've identified and confirmed as of earlier today 4 cases that are locally transmitted. For the details of that investigation, I would have to refer you to Florida. But let me emphasize something. Again, remember that 4 out of 5 Zika infections appear to be asymptomatic. So if we find a singleton case of locally transmitted Zika in community X, that doesn't necessarily imply that that community is at any higher risk of Zika than all the other communities that have Aedes aegypti mosquitoes present, because 4 out of 5 of them won't be found. And as we look back to dengue and chikungunya, the vast majority, 9 out of 10 or more, of the introductions of that virus have been dead ends. They've only infected one person and have not resulted in a cluster. We have a small number of clusters that we've identified and investigated in the past in Key West, in a couple of communities in Texas. But generally, when the cases come in, they kind of dead end after infecting one person. That's partly because our environment isn't that conducive to these mosquitoes. That's partly because lots of people use screens and air conditioning. But for whatever the reason, we don't generally see clusters. Here, we're seeing at least 2 cases associated with a location where there are large numbers of the Aedes aegypti mosquito present. Mosquito abatement was done immediately after those cases were diagnosed, even before they were confirmed to be locally transmitted. And the thing that we're looking at very carefully here is there anyone there who gets Zika after that mosquito control intervention? In that case, it would be a different situation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Our next question comes from Megan Rosen with Science News. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. You just touched on this a little bit, but I'm wondering if you can tell us about the risk of larger outbreaks to come, given what we already know about local transmission of dengue and chikungunya in Florida.
So we've learned a lot in recent years about control of dengue and chikungunya. There are some environmental situations that make it more difficult than others. So in some environments where there's lots of standing water and people don't have screens and air conditioning, it's much harder to control, especially if people are close together. In other situations, the mosquito is in what is for it a more marginal environment where it's harder for it to survive and easier for us to knock down mosquito populations with mosquito control interventions. So this is why we've said we believe that widespread transmission in the continental U.S. is unlikely, but it's not impossible. And that's why we're aggressively keeping our guard up and investigating every possible incident that may represent widespread transmission.
Thank you.
Next question.
Our next question comes from Kimberly Leonard with U.S. News and World Report. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think you explained pretty well for me the needle in the haystack and how it was difficult to confirm 100% that it was local transmission. But the language in a lot of the releases still said likely transmission. I mean, is it safe to say that this is confirmed? And if it isn't, are we still considering that Zika might have another mode of transmission? And is that why we're using the term likely?
Everything we've seen so far indicates to us that this is mosquito-borne transmission. There isn't a test to confirm that unless we get lucky enough to find Zika in a mosquito. But we consider this and are proceeding as though it is confirmed local mosquito-borne transmission. Next question.
Our next question comes from Michaeline Duclef with NPR.org. Your line is open.
Hi.
Can't hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the blood supply and testing. Do you know, in terms of the kits, are there enough kits available for counties to test their blood supply? And are counties asking for them?
So there are two kinds of tests here. One is a test of the blood supply, and there are ample tests available to screen blood. The FDA has indicated that blood should be screened, and the blood bank that covers this area is, we understand, has said that they will start that today. But there's no shortage of kits for blood screening, and the Food and Drug Administration would be the place to go for any follow-up questions about the blood supply. For test kits generally, or testing of people who might have Zika, there is also ample supply for people who are pregnant or have symptoms or are in this area and have concerns. These tests are provided by CDC or developed by laboratories, including the Florida Health Department, and are available through health departments and through clinician offices. We've been working very closely with four different commercial laboratories to get a range of tests available in private laboratories, which will make it easier for patients to get tested. And we hope that in the next few weeks they'll be able to get that testing started in commercial laboratories as well.
Okay, so we're just through the health department?
Didn't hear you, Michaeline.
Sorry, just through the health department?
Please try again.
Okay, I think my phone is turned off now.
Can you ask your question again?
Yeah, I'm right here. I don't think you can hear me anymore.
I can hear you. If you ask your question, I might be able to answer it.
So right now, the tests are only available through the health department.
No. People can get tested if they have an indication for testing at any doctor's office. Their doctor's office will have to coordinate with the health department to get the sample sent to where it needs to go to be tested.
Got it. Thanks.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Dan Childs. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you so much for holding this call. I have a two-part question. Given, as you said, that 4 in 5 people who are infected show no symptoms, are there any projections on how many other cases right now there might be that we haven't detected? And then also the second part of this question is, how close are we to knowing whether asymptomatic people who are infected can actually serve as vectors of the disease? Are there any ongoing studies to help tell us this?
So a couple things there. We don't have projections, but again, we believe that about 4 out of 5 people with Zika infection don't have symptoms. So we anticipate that there will certainly have been other infections. After all, the individuals who got this infection ultimately got it from a mosquito who got it from another person who had Zika because they had traveled somewhere where Zika was spreading. We do know with certainty that people with asymptomatic infections with Zika, women with asymptomatic infections with Zika, can give it to the fetus, which can get microcephaly from that asymptomatic infection in pregnancy. Also know with certainty that an asymptomatic infection also has virus in the blood, and so also can result in the spread of Zika through mosquitoes. We're not yet certain whether that also holds for the sexual transmission of Zika, which may require a larger inoculum, but we're just not sure. We don't have any reason to think it doesn't, and so we say that anyone who's traveled to an area where Zika is spreading, such as Latin America and parts of the Caribbean, should use a condom till the end of pregnancy if their partner is pregnant. We have time for 2 more questions.
Our next question comes from Dan Vergano with BuzzFeed News. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. I'm wondering if you could say anything about the status of funding for CDC Zika efforts right now. How much cash do you have? When is it going to run out? How are you doing, basically?
We are doing the best we can with the resources we have available to us and the authorities that we have available to us. If we had more resources, we would be able to mount a more robust response. And this is certainly an example of why it's so important that, as proposed by both houses of Congress, both parties, there be an infectious disease rapid response fund that has both resources and authorities for rapid action. Last question, please.
Our last question comes from Dennis Thompson. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Oh, I'm sorry. You've already addressed my question. Thank you a lot, Dr. Frieden.
Thank you. So I'll just wrap up here. I do want to correct one thing I said earlier. It is now confirmed that asymptomatic infection can result in sexual spread of Zika from a male partner to a female or to a sexual partner. So that has now been confirmed. We've said from day one that we are learning more about Zika literally every day, and we do everything we can to inform the public about that as soon as we learn it. The bottom line here is that Zika is now present in the continental United States. We've identified, Florida Health Department has identified, a small cluster of cases in a several block area just north of downtown Miami. The transmission there appears to have occurred in early July. By mid-July, the health department had already conducted aggressive mosquito control activities there. We continue to monitor the situation on a daily basis, and everyone, particularly pregnant women, anywhere where the Aedes aegypti mosquito is present, should protect themselves against mosquito bites by applying insect repellent, wearing long sleeve shirts and long pants, using or repairing screens on windows and doors, using air conditioning when available, and removing standing water where mosquitoes can lay eggs. Thank you all very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden, and also thank you for reporters for joining us. If you have follow-up questions, you can call the press office at 404-639-3286, or you can email us at media@cdc.gov. Thank you for joining us. This concludes the call.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.